it's the Good Work Show quarantine edition.
Yep.
I feel like we need a graphic quarantine edition.
We do. I feel like we have started like the COVID stories. Good Work Show.
Yeah. It should be the Good Work Show in the COVID times.
Dun, dun, dun. We need like the person from the news that creates those, the whatever. Anyway, I lost it.
Well, that was good. You were.
I was going somewhere, but I got lost.
Yes. So we're back in our home offices again this week. And last week we said we were going to do the drop in and just whoever can come on should come on show. So that's what we got, the come on show.
We do come on. We got the
Shimon show. It's the Shimon show.
So there's going to be some guests that we're going to have in. And actually, none of them are in the same state.
Yes, that's right.
So we got
a tri-state.
We do. So all of our guests are going to be dialing in and dropping in from different parts of the country. And they're going to have some different information that they're bringing to you. But as always, it'll be fun and informative.
And impromptu. Because
very impromptu.
No planning on this show. It was intentionally unplanned, though. So
it was.
We purposely did not prepare.
So if it feels a little haphazard and possibly chaotic, that's by design. That's how it's supposed to feel. Because is that not how we all feel right now? Haphazard and a little chaotic.
That's right. Yeah, we wanted to roll with the times.
Right. So just a quick update before we get our guests in the door on some changes that are coming. So as you all know that our stores have been closed now. I mean, it's hard enough to know what day of the week it is, let alone what date and month. But I think we're going on about our fourth week of our stores being closed. I think that's right.
I think it's a month.
So up until now, we've been able to continue to accept donations. So as you know, all of our donors are very generous. So we're always getting stuff in. And our whole process is that if it comes in, we try to get it to the floor within 24 hours. Well, with our stores.
People want to buy it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But with our stores closed, obviously we have not been able to send things out the front door. So when stuff comes in the back door, there's nowhere for it to go. So unfortunately, because our donors have been so generous in this time, we are full. Mm-hmm. And there is just no room for us to accept any more donations at this time. So as of April 19th will be the last day that we're going to be able to accept donations. So depending on when you hear the show, I'm sure that will be in the past.
So, yeah. You know what? That was a good call because I was going to say, well, isn't it just Saturday?
Right.
Yeah. So, but it depends on what time Saturday
you hear this show. Yeah. Or when you take a minute to listen to it. So it's probably passed and you might have some stuff set aside already, but we created some tips and some things that maybe you can use in order to hold, because what we want you to do is to hold on to the donations. So don't stop your clearing out. Just don't bring them to us yet. We're not quite ready, but hold on to them. So a lot of people are getting deliveries right now. You're getting stuff from Amazon. You may be getting stuff that's coming in boxes. So our number first tip is to reuse those boxes and just make them your standing donation center box. Mm-hmm. So,
and I did a video on that. So you can go on our website and find the video of, and that was real. That was me really putting the stuff I donated in the boxes. Like that wasn't a fake video. It was... It was my real Amazon box that was empty from, I'm trying to remember what I bought in that box. I think I got some hangers. And then anyway, I used the box to put my Goodwill stuff in. But I did stack it up. So that's the first tip. And then, you know, a couple others. And I was talking to someone else the other day about these other couple tips, but lots of people have kids at home who are running out of things to do. And so you could make a game out of it and get them to help you spring clean. So give them a box or a bag or something to put in their room or their favorite place around the house, and ask them to fill it up with things to donate to Goodwill. And then whoever fills up their box the fastest or first can get a prize. Maybe they get like an extra dessert or get to pick the family night movie or game, whatever you're going to play. But that could be pretty fun and engaging and get the kids involved. And then you could challenge your neighbors.
So yeah, you could go and, remotely.
Yes, remotely. But take pictures of what you're doing to, you know, kind of spruce up the inside of your house, and you know, tag your neighbors and hashtag for Goodwill when you post it on social media, and challenge everybody to kind of do what you're doing and clean up a whole those things, and you know, stick them aside until we're ready to reopen. We will reopen, and I think we'll be stronger than ever when we reopen. What we're doing in the interim, though, is preparing our stores to get reopened. And so we want to make sure we're taking all the extra safety precautions and making sure that we're keeping sanitation and organization in mind. And so when we opened, we expect that you'll have a wonderful experience, as we hope you always do in the Goodwill stores, but it'll be a little bit different, and it'll be adjusted a little bit to our new reality of how we will shop and live and work and play. So get ready for it. Goodwill of North Georgia will be back on the scene soon.
And considering the number of donations and the way people are cleaning out, there's going to be some really good stuff.
Oh, yeah, there's all kind of good stuff.
Like, yeah, I'm kind of looking
at some really good stuff on
e-commerce. True. So if you haven't checked out our e-commerce page, this is a great time, because honestly, that's right now the only place that we can sell anything. So, you know, take a look, see what's up there. We've been getting a ton of activity on that. So we're always trying to replenish that inventory. So there's some pretty, I've seen some stuff on there that I'm like, shoot, I saw it and then I forgot to get on it. Yeah, I forgot. And it was gone.
Yeah, that's the thing now. This is not like Amazon or Macy's or Nike or wherever you like to shop. Those are the places I like to shop, so that's right. That's why I named them. But you can't go and get another one. So if you say, oh well, I'll just come back the next day and I'll probably be able to get it, it may not be there, because it's the same, it's a very similar experience than in our stores, where there's going to be one or one of a kind or something super unique. And so we're putting those really unique good fun value-based items that are on our website. And so if you don't see them there and get them, then you're likely not to get that treasure. So we encourage you to do what you do when you're in a Goodwill store. Find it, love it, buy it, and then make sure you have it for yourself, because somebody else is going to scoop it up.
Right. So stick with the show. You're going to see some folks dropping in and out. Yeah. And talking about what they've got going on or in their part of the country. So it should be fun. So thanks for sticking with us for another week of the COVID editions of the Good Work Show.
Yes. And we'll be back at after, well, it's not going to be a break. I guess we're going to edit this.
Yeah. So
we're taking an editing break, and it might be like 1 second break, but
right.
We'll just,
and then you'll. We'll see who's first.
Some other people on the scene.
There you go. All right. Enjoy.
Hello, everybody. It's another quarantine edition of the Good Work Show.
Hey, everybody.
It's the real social distancing version, because we have an East Coast, West Coast thing going on today.
It's not a feud, though. Like, we're not going to shoot anybody. It's like...
That's true. It's not a rap battle.
It's not a rap battle. There's no beef. It's just geographically East Coast, West Coast.
Yes. So you'll see that we have a third person on with us. Well, we hope you see it. This is our founder of the Good Work Show, Jim Caponegro. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Hi, everyone.
Hey.
Hey. And so tell everybody where you are.
Right now, I'm in the San Francisco, Oakland area of California. Nice. So I'm the one on the West Coast that you were referring to.
Yes.
Yeah. So so you founded the Good Work Show. So we should, well, for those
we founded the Good Work Show.
Huh?
We founded the Good Work
Show. Well, you founded it, and then I got found and told. But so we should go back to the beginning because we have a lot of new, we think we have a lot of new listeners and viewers. So we should give them the history lesson. So you should tell them how you created this whole idea.
Yeah, well, at the very beginning, what our thought process was is at Goodwill, a lot of people understand what the retail stores are. I understand that I can go shop for things of value. I can drop things off that I no longer need, but maybe somebody else could need or want. And people understood that part. What they didn't understand was our other story. What do we do with the money? And that long form conversation is tough to do kind of on an outdoor board or in a newspaper or even an op-ed in the newspaper. So we were trying to figure out how could we talk to people about the services that Goodwill provides with job training and job services and job placement. How do we do that in a long form way? And we said, well, what if we were on the radio? And so that was kind of the nexus of the idea of how, if we could get a show and talk about it, people would understand what Goodwill does. And then we said, but who's going to listen to a show for an hour every week about Goodwill, right? Especially if it's just Jim and Elaine talking. So we needed other voices on there. And that's when we turned it into being the community connector and having and featuring other nonprofits in the Atlanta area as really the content of the Good Work Show.
Yeah, that's cool. Yes.
And then you left.
And then I left. And then Trenise came and made it better. So now it's an entertaining show. And you got Trenise and Elaine that are actually making it better. And I'm able to go out in California and do my yard work and plug in my headphones and listen to you guys on podcasts every week.
Oh, well, cool. Well, you know, but you've been a guest on the Good Work Show since you've been gone at least twice.
Yep.
Yeah. So you're kind of a regular.
I appreciate that. But you know why I'm a regular is because I invite myself. So, you know, if other people would call you and invite themselves, they'd be regulars too, I assume.
Well, let's be honest. Everyone who's on the show probably called and invited themselves.
Oh, yeah?
For the most part.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, I want to be on the show.
Yeah, you guys have also interviewed other people that Elaine and I interviewed from the very beginning. So it's really interesting to hear their stories and how they first came on the radio show, and now they're doing additional works and promoting events, and it's really, really entertaining. I really appreciate it as just a consumer, you know, enjoying your concept and enjoying your show every week.
Oh, we appreciate that. We have like a handful of loyal listeners. I wonder if we really have more. What if we had a secret, like, underground following of, like, thousands?
Well, you know, that there was one time when we were on FM that we did the study. So when we joined that FM station on that time slot, there were somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 listeners. And after, what was it, we studied it, like, after 3 months we were on the air, we were up to 15,000 listeners in that time period. And they were able to sell more advertising because of our show.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. I do remember that. Yeah. So we put a lot of people on the map with this content.
Yes. I would say 15,000 is more than a handful. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's true.
So what are you doing now?
Yeah.
What am I doing? Where am I working? Is that what your question is?
Well, you know, however you want to answer it.
or I guess I could answer it. I'm counting the days until I can go to the grocery store again. You know, I'm doing that. Mm. But I am working. So I'm the director of marketing at a national nonprofit called Project Equity. And our mission is to help transition companies from single ownership to employee ownership. So what we hope to do is we hope to reduce the wealth and racial gap that's out there, and have more people have ownership of companies. And it is shown that employee-owned companies have provide their employees higher wages, they have more savings, and they have more retention of their employees because the employees call the shots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's cool. So we help companies do that. And right now, during this pandemic, as you know, a lot of small businesses are really, you know, on the cliff. And some of them are trying to figure out, can they open their doors again? If not, can I still save my employees by transferring over to employee ownership? You know, is there a way that we can keep the business local? We can keep the legacy that we built and keep employees, you know, employed every day.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a really good organization. So can you share, like, if you worked with anybody that we would know, or are you able to do that?
Sure. We're not in Atlanta yet. So we're really, our bread and butter is retail, manufacturing, and solar. So we really kind of started to try to do it in California first. And we're now in, we're trying to roll out in other markets. So we're doing business in Chicago and Miami and Washington State. We'll roll out this year in Arizona, and probably 2021 in Atlanta and Minneapolis. You know, some of the, as you can tell by the ones I mentioned, they're really manufacturing based. It's where they have, you know, a lot of employees, a lot of the people that we work with are, you know, our bread and butter is kind of where companies have somewhere between 20 and 100 employees.
Okay.
And so a lot of that is manufacturing. A lot of that is retail. Solar has really worked out for us well. And just those types of companies that if you think, hey, I'm a worker who really enjoys my job, but you know, it's a redundant job. It's a job that I might not get paid as much. I might not be able to afford things for my family. If I own the company and I can make those decisions and help the company grow, I can make even more money and save even more money for my retirement.
Yeah. Cool. So are you an essential worker, Jim?
I think so. Well, I'm still working. So.
Oh, yeah. That really is that's like the biggest clue when somebody asks you, like, are you essential? And you're like, well, I'm still doing it. So yeah. I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're lucky because we're a nonprofit that's grant funded. And what we're doing today is even more important than what it was, you know, months ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, our goal is really to, what we call, you know, flatten the curve of the small businesses going out of business. And we want them to come back and be revitalized and offer really good, strong jobs. And we're going to be a part of that.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Go ahead.
No, so I'm seeing, so that's what you're doing for work. Now you're like in a hot spot that got locked down early. So what's that like?
Yeah, and how come you can't go to the grocery store?
Well, we can go to the grocery store. Oh. We're allowed to go to the grocery store, but not Jim's supposed old. To go too often. You know,
right. Like, he's also old, let's be honest. So
That's true.
You know, I'm headed toward my retirement years. There's no doubt about that. But you know, the thing is, just like any older person, I like to walk to the grocery store, right? Oh. So where we live, we can walk to the grocery store. We get a bag and we walk home, right? So we tend to go to the grocery store a little more often. Mm-hmm. And now you kind of say, well, how can we hold on longer and only go every other week or something?
Yeah.
But Trinise, to answer your question, I mean, it seemed like we got locked down, you know, the first week of March. And so we've been inside for a long time, and it's tough. It's tough. There's freedoms that you don't have, but you're hoping that they're going to open up soon and everybody's going to be healthy and you can go out when it's safe.
Yeah. Well, this is great. Oh, I'm sorry, Elaine, did you have something?
Are we out of time?
Yeah.
It went by like really fast.
It always does.
More like, you know, questions.
I know. It did go by really fast though.
Yeah, well, fill me in before we leave. Fill me in on what's going on at Goodwill in North Georgia. What's the haps? What are you guys doing in this certain time period.
What aren't we doing? Let's see. We're essential too. We're working extra. It really does. So as you know, marketing and communications is super important, especially when you have a workforce. We've got 3,000 employees. So we're trying to keep them informed and then also keep the public informed about what's going on. And we had to close stores, what, about 2.5 weeks ago, Trinise? 3 weeks? It's
3 weeks, almost four.
Okay, yeah, like almost a month.
Yeah,
we
almost
closed
a month.
Our stores. And then we will stop taking donations on Saturday because we have so many donations coming in, but nothing was going out because we've been closed with the store. So we don't know where to put all of the good treasures that people have donated. So unfortunately, we have to stop taking donations temporarily. But, in the interim, we're hanging on to our workforce and informing them and getting ready for the days when we can reopen. So kind of like your grocery stores where people have been in and they've seen the plexiglass dividers and signs that say, keep your distance from your neighbors. Those are things that we're going to be implementing at Goodwill once we open.
Nice.
Yeah. And of course, the mission work is really ramping up because a lot of people are out of work, but then there's a lot of people hiring. So that side in our virtual career services has been really busy trying to get folks employed, and they've been working double time and having folks from around the country who aren't in the same place that we are to be able to ramp up as quickly. So they've been kind of helping folks here, but then also helping other Goodwills across the country get their stuff going so that they can help people in their markets as well. So, and then our e-commerce has kind of been going like gangbusters because there's still people out there who want to shop. So they've been on e-commerce buying stuff. Yeah. So there's a lot going on.
You guys are ahead of the game.
We had a $4,000 pair of Jordans on there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
$4,000?
I guess today might be the last day for the purchase on those. We should see if somebody bought them.
My goodness.
I know. Yeah.
You guys were ahead of the game with the virtual career services, though. So it's a great, opportunity for people who are looking for work that are, searching left and right. And, everybody's looking at the same thing to reach out to Goodwill and get some help. That's great.
Yeah. Yep. Well, how's Judy and the rest of your family?
Everybody's doing well. Everybody's doing well. We had, one of our friends passed away from COVID, which was, makes it a little close to home.
Yeah.
But other than that, the family is doing well. Yeah.
Well, we'll definitely keep you in our thoughts and prayers for your loss of your friend, and tell Judy we said hello.
We'll do. And,
yeah. And since you have a nice backyard, you should start gardening. Then you can grow your own vegetables.
Oh, believe me, we've been gardening.
Oh, you have?
There's not a weed in my yard. There's not a weed or a leaf on the ground. Judy's growing lettuce. And our backyard gets a lot of sun. And we got a lot of good action going on there.
Nice.
I bet I spend more time in the backyard than I do in the house. So it's nice.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Yeah it is.
Well, good.
Well, great. Well, thanks so much, Jim, for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. It was great to see you guys again.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll make it hopefully we're not all quarantined for much longer, but if so, we'll just, pop in every once in a while and see what you're doing.
Well, if you have those drop-ins you're talking about on the show, I'd love to drop in every once in a while.
Yeah.
You're always welcome.
Right.
That's right.
All right.
You're like the godfather of the Good Work Show. So, we got to let you on.
All right. I appreciate it.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Good Work Show. So we've got more guests. So we already introduced you to Jim Caponegro, who is do we call him the founder or do we call him the godfather
of the Good Work Show? I call him the godfather of the Good Work Show.
Okay, so we're going to go with godfather of the Good Work Show, who's joining us from out in California.
Do an accent like the godfather.
Hey, this is really important.
You need a cat. You could have totally been stroking.
I do have a cat.
I know you have a cat.
But it's not here. She's not here right now. Yes.
So, and then we also have my sister, Tanis, joining us from Virginia Beach. And we brought her on for a very specific reason.
Yes.
So around the holiday season, I was recounting a story about how we used to work at a Christmas tree lot when I was in high school. And Elaine refused to believe that this story was true. So
there's a lot of additions to the story. So I tend not to believe. You start one story and then you go back and you add stuff on. That's what I believe. Well, that's when I don't think the story's real.
I already don't believe the story because you said you were working. Did you actually work when you were younger?
She managed.
A little bit.
Okay.
So rude. Anywho, so we were talking about how kids these days don't have the same kinds of responsibilities and things that we had back when we were in high school. So I was talking about, you know, when we were working for student government in high school, we had a Christmas tree lot and we would sell Christmas trees from Thanksgiving up until like Christmas Eve. Yeah. So our responsibilities as high school students was to unload the truck. So all of the trees had to come off the truck. We had to set up the lot, unload the truck. We would sell the trees, all of it. So we would have to move the trees. When someone selected their tree, we'd walk it over. We were responsible for getting the chainsaw and cutting the bottom off the tree. Then we would tie the tree onto the people's cars. And then we had to handle all the money. And there was no, you know, Square and credit cards and stuff. It was all cash. And we took in, what, about $100,000, $200,000 worth of inventory on this lot every year. So Elaine refuses to believe that story is true.
But that's not how it got told, though. I feel like this is a very tame version of the story. What you said is, I was outside in high school, and I was just walking around with chainsaws and money. And I was like, well, that does for student government. Well,
basically what happened, the lot was open all day, so you did get two field trip days that you would have to go out all day long and work on the Christmas tree lot
with no adult supervision. It was just you and a partner, and you were responsible for everything. So people actually bought Christmas trees during the day, so it was just like 15, 16, 17 year olds out there dealing with trees, you know, cutting and putting them on the roof of the cars or trucks, tying them down, praying they didn't fall off in this intersection. You know, just kinds of bullshit. I mean, then somebody would get in their car and leave unexpectedly to go and get something from Dunkin' Donuts, like in the middle of the day. It wasn't even lunch period, but hell, we were on a field trip, so they didn't really know what was going on.
Was this a family business? Was this
it was a fundraiser for our student government.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't really a job. Like, your dad didn't let you work.
We got tip money, but we didn't get paid.
Yeah, we got tips, but we didn't get paid.
Did you take some money out of the till?
No.
No, we combined our tips, and then just like in the evening when we were all there, we would just go and get pizza or something. I mean, like, literally we worked. It was more fun to work the Christmas tree lot than to sit at home. So we were probably at the Christmas tree lot like every night. I mean, just there, just kind of hanging out.
It was open till what, 9 or 10 o'clock?
Yeah, then we get free pizza because, you know, it was on tip money. So, I mean, that was our life. But one thing I do remember, now you said unloading the truck. I never had to do that because—
Well, I never did too. Yes. So that was when Elaine stopped believing me when I said that I never unloaded the truck. So
did not unload the truck because the Christmas tree lot opened up the day after Thanksgiving, and we were always out of town, and mommy was like, we are not going back, so you can unload a truck, they'll see you on Monday. So that was our time. So for some reason we got away with it for all those years that we never had to be the, you know, on site the first part, like everybody else had to be, but mommy made that clear, you won't be there till Monday.
So that is the story of the Christmas tree
in what? Florida, right?
Yes, it was Florida.
So that explains all the illegalness of what happened.
I know. Yes.
Well,
fun times.
thank you for joining us to clear up all of the misconceptions about the Christmas tree lot. We appreciate your time.
I'm really thrown off on the whole story that you guys were working, because
oh good God,
I was picturing, you know, I understood from the growing up stories that the Lyons girls were pampered and that they didn't have to work, that they got whatever they wanted. They got all their toys. They got the cars when they were at driving age. Daddy took care of them. And there's no reason at all to have to go out and work or use a chainsaw or handle money. I never
all of those things are kind of true.
Yeah.
So the Christmas tree, I mean, that was part of our grade. So we had to be there. I had a job for like 6 months. I worked. Well,
what happened with it?
Where was that?
Oh, I worked at the Gap.
Elaine, how many jobs? Elaine, how many jobs did you have before you went to college?
One.
What? The same one the whole time?
Well, yeah, it was a short. It was a short period.
Oh, so you didn't work that much before going to college either.
I didn't work that much either.
We didn't all grow up during the Depression like you did.
Wow.
I didn't work because I was too busy trying to get my grades up. My sister worked though. She was the quintessential, like, let me get every job. So she worked retail, she worked at McDonald's. Yeah. You know, she did that. I worked at Sears for about 6 months.
Okay. All right, guys, we gotta go because we got some more guests that's gonna join us, but this has been fun.
Yes. Wow. Thank you for validating that story, and it's good to meet you.
Anytime, I'm always available to back her up.
Well, I'm going to keep that in mind.
Bye.
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 Bye. Hey, everybody. It's our drop-in show of the Good Work Show.
Yeah, so now we're on to our third, depending on how this all gets put together, because who knows, but...
You should have just rolled with it. We would have made it work for whatever.
No, sorry. Yeah, well, you this is it. The homemade Good Work Show. So just take what you can get here.
That's right.
But we've got another guest for you.
Yes. Olalie. Yay!
What's up?
It's our good friend Phil Olalie from Next Generation Men and Women. What's going on, buddy?
I can't call it Friday at home. Just trying
is
to plug
it Friday?
Away.
Does it matter that it's Friday?
Man, every day feels like the same. But exactly. It's so good to see y'all faces.
I know.
Hear your voices. Everyone seems to be doing well. Lane's out there in the country, social distancing. Love it.
I'm social distance all the time out here in Covington.
You ain't never lied.
Basically.
You ain't never lied.
You've been training for this your whole life.
That's true. Yeah. So what's going on with Next Gen Men and Women during these COVID times?
Yeah, it's been a big adjustment. Like many organizations, you know, I think any school, any after school program is just having to cope with how do you continue to connect with and support students and youth remotely.
Yeah.
And so a lot of what we've been doing really is just building from scratch, just different platforms and being creative and inventive with just strategies and approaches to meet our students where they are. So I think it's been a healthy exercise for the organization just to experiment and just think through ways to breathe life into our program using a lot of social media platforms that we typically would not use during like the traditional regular in-person programming. But it's been a journey, to say the least. I think a lot of our students have less than most, so we're having to respond to the very unique and special needs that our students and families have. Yeah, it's hard, but we, you know, our goal is still the same. We're doubling down, tripling down on our mission, and just finding ways to be there for them. So I'm really proud of the team. It's been about a month now, and we have some really cool Instagram Live and Google Classroom just experiences that are brewing. Slowly, we're starting to kind of replenish and rebuild a virtual community and village for our students and our teachers, our college mentors, our professionals, just to stay connected.
Yeah.
That's the biggest loss that we all are experiencing is the social interaction piece. And for a lot of our students, that social piece is half, if not more, of the educational experience. So, you know, we're trying to do the best that we can.
Mm-hmm. So how are students kind of responding to this? Because, you know, I don't talk to a lot of kids. I don't know any. You know, outside of the like, oh, I don't have to go to school, but like, how are they kind of responding to this whole thing of just having, you know, basically the back end of your school year just wiped out?
A lot of them are just unsure and uncertain of what next steps are going to look like. A lot of isolation, a lot of loneliness. And so our biggest concern has been just the mental and emotional wellness and health of our students. And so again, I think, you know, we can come up with resources and we can come up with, you know, these stopgap measures and activities and programmatic pieces to stand in those gaps and address some of those concerns and just sentiments that our students are sharing with us. But yeah, a lot of loneliness and just being home by themselves. I think the one thing that we oftentimes overlook is that for a lot of our students, their parents or guardians don't have the luxury of working remotely.
Yeah.
And so they're out there on the front lines and you know, working in grocery stores and just trying to do the best that they can to meet the moment and help folks and communities through this crisis. But they don't have the benefit to stay home or to take a few hours out of their schedule to be there with their students in the morning for digital learning support. So we have to be mindful and attentive to just what our students are telling us, and then use that information as quickly as we can to just create different ways and build different systems of support to be there for them.
Yeah. So Phil, like, you know, we've been talking, so this is our second, third sort of social distancing version of this show. We're trying to kind of create content and highlight the fact that nonprofits, you know, businesses, we're hearing so much about businesses who are being impacted, but nonprofits are hugely impacted by this. So if you had like one thing that, you know, people listening could do to help out NextGen right now, what would it be?
I mean, this is the well-used, you know, ask that many organizations make. But simply put, it's just financial resources. I think the biggest concern as a leader of an organization that I have is payroll. Is being able to meet those day-to-day needs. We still have rent that we're paying. We still have our teachers and our college mentors on contract that will be receiving every penny, regardless of whether or not they can be there for their students. Because we know that, you know, life continues and they still have needs, and everyone's trying to do the best that they can to just manage through this crisis. But as a leader of an organization who has very, very specific and daily financial just needs and constraints, I think financially, if there are programs out there, I know there are a ton of stimulus, financial assistance programs that foundations have really jumped in and have created to stand up and sustain the operations of nonprofits and other programs out there that are being there and being there for students and their families. And so I think not only giving, but also passing along resources as it relates to mental health, as it relates to just ways to kind of cope and manage through remote learning. You know, we have to be there for one another more now than we ever have been. So I think financial assistance is one piece just to keep these operations and this work and the support going, but also finding other non-monetary ways to help organizations plug into resources and assets that could be helpful.
Cool.
Well, we know you had another call, so we wanted to thank you for taking a minute and drop in on the Good Work Show today. It's good to see you. We'll have to reconnect
and soon. After this, I know we need going to get bacon.
Yes.
You know how we get down. You know how we get down. I miss y'all. You know, it's always a pleasure to see you both and to speak with you all. And thank you for just keeping this platform alive for organizations to talk about the critical work that we're trying to continue during this crisis. Y'all stay safe, healthy, and I can't wait to see y'all soon.
All right. Bye, Phil.
Tell Sabrina said hello.
I will. She's eating in the background right now.